I hope you enjoyed that beautiful prelude music as our congregational sang that wonderful song. Penned by Pastor Bob Boutour, who ministers here as Minister of Families, and God has gifted him to put pen to paper, and we have sung a number of his hymns here, and that's one of them. Wonderful truth. Thank you for tuning in again this evening. We had a good elders deacons meeting last evening. All the men were there with the exception of two. So we had good attendance, a good spirit. We appreciate the interaction our deacons are having with their family groups, and your deacon is expressing your concerns to us, and we're weighing all of those things. Thank you for praying for the elders as we seek the Lord and make decisions that are in the best interest of the most people. Obviously, we can't satisfy every desire. There are people who are more vulnerable than others. Those who are less vulnerable seem to be less cautious. And so they have an opinion, and those who are more vulnerable have another opinion. And so we're listening, we're praying, we're talking among ourselves and trying to find a course of action moving forward that, again, will maintain health and continuity of ministry and help the most people. And so, again, for now, we're only meeting together here in this place on Sunday morning. We are weighing the possibility of soon going to Sunday night. We'll let you know when that decision has been made. A lot of it depends on what develops in the days and weeks to come concerning the containment of the virus or the spread of the virus, depending, and what restrictions Governor Cooper imposes upon us. So that's our thinking. We wanted you to know that we're hearing you. Your deacon has expressed your concerns to us, and we considered a good bit of that last night. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of prayer, and I want to read from Romans chapter 8, which will be a place we'll camp and consider God's Word here. But listen to Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. And we'll be concentrating particularly on verses 26 and 27 of this chapter. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility and willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen to the words of this hymn from William Cowper, what various hindrances we meet. And our passage that we're going to look at tonight speaks of not hindrances, but weaknesses in this area of prayer. William Cowper speaks of hindrances. Listen. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. When Moses stood with arms spread wide, victory was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they failed, that moment Amalek prevailed. Have you no words? Ah, think again. Victory was found. I'm sorry. Have you no words? Ah, think again. Words flow apace when you complain. And fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, "Hear what the Lord has done for me." These hymns that we're not able to sing but draw your attention to by reading them have brought, at least to me, a richness in the content and in theology that they are communicating. Sometimes we get carried along with the tune and the words don't resonate near as powerfully in our hearts and minds, but this has been an asset, I think, to us in this season, and it is just for a season. There will be a time in the near future where we'll be able to come back together and our pattern will be opening our hymn books and standing and singing. So do not despair about that. I know for some have found this very beneficial. Some have found it difficult to adjust to. But again, bear with us. We think that this is, for the most of us, the best route to take in these days. Well, we need to ask the Lord to meet with us as we gather here tonight. So would you bow with me as I ask the Lord's blessing on our time. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name given among men whereby men may be saved. We thank you that there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. We rejoice tonight that we have a great high priest. We rejoice that he came from heaven's glory. He came and fulfilled the will of you, O God, perfectly. And he's returned to glory. You have exalted him to the highest place and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We thank You that He is seated at Your right hand. We thank You that He represents us before You. We thank You that He's there in His perfect humanity, that He bears the scars of Calvary there. And we are rejoicing that His work is finished, His work of redemption. And therefore, He is seated at Your right hand. We would pray tonight that You would grant us grace, grant us help from on high to profit from this time together. We're going to take a concentrated look at a verse of Scripture here in Romans chapter 8. We confess that apart from the illuminating work of the Spirit of God, the Word of God is confusing to us. We're unable to understand it. And therefore, Lord, we ask that He would help us tonight to understand the Scriptures aright, and that You would help us to make the application in our lives, that we would grow in our understanding, grow in our knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're mindful, our Father, of the tremendous needs that span our country from coast to coast. There is civil unrest. There are riots in the streets. There are protests. There are injustices. There is sin abounding. There is chaos. And Lord, how we pray that in the midst of this, Your name might be known. That in this darkness, light would shine. That in the midst of this confusion and chaos, that there would be those who would be speaking truth, gospel truth. We pray, our Father, that You would bind the evil one, that he would not create further chaos, that You would frustrate his purposes and his design. We pray for the advancement of righteousness in our land, the pushing back of darkness, the pushing back of sin and wrongdoing, of injustice. Lord, we're asking these things of You because we know no other place to bring these petitions. Politicians cannot do this. We cannot do this. You must do it. And we would pray that You would have mercy upon our land, that You would bring a healing to our land, that You would bring a turning back to You, not by a few, but by the masses. So, Lord, we're shut up to You tonight. We're mindful of that. So much of what we see going on around us is outside of our control. But we rejoice that it is not out of the control of a sovereign God. That You are indeed ruling and reigning. You are accomplishing Your purposes in this world. And we rejoice in that reality. So come to us, Lord, as we sit in front of our computers with our Bibles open. We trust our hearts are open as well, that our communion is fresh with You, that there is no unconfessed sin that would hinder the Spirit's work, that we would not be grieving the Spirit. How we need to maintain, cultivate fresh communion with You. Use our gathering here tonight to that end, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into the Word, let me go over our announcements. Trying to think if I have any announcements to communicate to you. Not really. I don't know of anything that needs to be Usually we turn to the announcement sheet and there are a list of announcements. But let me read Psalm 119, verses 33 to 34 that's printed at the top of the sheet. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, that's Psalm 119, verse 33 and 34. Let's go over prayer requests. We have a number of praises. Mary Ann Freeman has got the issues settled concerning her speech-language pathologist assistant license resolved. So we're thankful for that. Rejoice with her in that matter. Thank you for praying about that with her. Caleb Kasevich, son of John and Hannah, has had swelling in his ears since he had was in this accident with his father several months ago. And the ear, nose, and throat doctor said the swelling in his ears has gone down, allowing the fluid in his ears to drain. He'll have more tests in September before they make a final determination of any hearing loss. Ryan Cardwell is at the sound this evening managing that for us. And he tells me that Sarah went and saw the doctor today and there was a concern, perhaps fear, that she had retorn her ACL in her knee that was surgically repaired some months back. But the good news is that there's no evidence of re-tearing of the ACL. There is a small tear in the meniscus that is a minor issue. So we are thankful for that fresh report concerning Sarah. Our government official of the week is North Carolina State Senator Rick Gunn. His office is in Raleigh. Drew Guthrie is at home and continues to regain strength from her cancer treatments. Texie Owens, Pastor Latour told us on Sunday, or I'm sorry, this afternoon at staff meeting that she was talking to Pam and Texie was admitted to the hospital. So I don't think it's any serious concern, but she's in the hospital in Hillsboro. Thank you for your ongoing prayers for Art Pope and his difficulty with COPD. And I know that Lenny Braley would also appreciate your prayers. He struggles in the same way. Shirley Watkins is home, recovering from a recent blood clot in her lung. Under others, we're asking you to pray for Danny Duncan, son of Pat and Betty Duncan, who's been diagnosed with COVID-19. Charles and Ellen Hersey have also been diagnosed with COVID-19, and they are in need of our prayers. Josh Lynch is the son of a friend of Gloria Hendry. He's a 19 to 20-year-old and has special needs. He was returning home from work last Thursday on his moped and was hit by a car. He had surgery Friday morning to put a rod and 4 screws in his leg and ankle and staples in his head. He's anticipated to recover from that. Becky Travis, a sister of Rose Bradshaw, fell and broke her leg and is in rehab in West Virginia. Michael Wood has kept up with the situation at the White Oak Manor, place where he has conducted church services there. They've been interrupted, obviously, because of the COVID. But the latest report shows that 48 staff members and 84 residents have tested positive for the coronavirus, and 27 residents have died. So it's one of those places in Alamance County that it has really taken its toll. Under missionaries, we're asking you to continue to pray for Trevor Johnson and his son, who they're planning to bring him back to the States and enroll him in a military school. There's some needs there for both Trevor and his physical condition and for their son. Paul Snyder, in a similar vein, and his daughter Mary Ann, who has some learning issues. Have an update concerning Stuart Waugh. I want to read this. It came from Laverne this afternoon. It says, Stu came home the day before yesterday and is struggling with pain and weakness after his procedure. Thankfully, his diabetes is settling down, but his liver is reacting against the radiation. One day at a time is the way to get through this, and only in the Lord's strength. His arms are underneath us, and we are thankful. So Stuart had that procedure where they inserted radioactive pellets to try and stem the growth of the cancer until he can have the transplant. But it's good news that he's been released from the hospital. And we're praying for a man named Pato, P-A-T-O. He's a neighbor of missionary Tom and Connie Chapman in Chile. He has pneumonia and is in the hospital in grave condition. He's 71 and he's not a believer. So they're asking us to pray for him. Under sympathy, we're asking the church to pray for the family of Tommy Wall. Tommy was an Alamance Christian School alumni and a teacher at Cummings High School. He passed away unexpectedly on Sunday. And I believe the funeral service will be tomorrow. And then we learned last evening at Elders Deacons meeting that Lee Hamilton, this is a neighbor of Jason and Brittany Sutherland in Boone, died suddenly in an automobile accident. So would you remember that family in prayer as well? And then under cancer, there are a couple of highlighted names, and then I want to draw your attention to one other name that appears in that section. Kent Shropshire is an uncle of Darla Shropshire. He's been battling COPD and lung cancer for a couple of years and now has been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. His wife Becky has been caring for him at home, but it is becoming more difficult as he is now bedridden. And then Amy Freeman's mother, Naomi, has changed to a different cancer drug and is struggling with side effects. Her dad is also struggling with issues of dementia. Amy's praying and asks us to pray that they will be able to attend Amy Joy's wedding later this month. Let's see. I want to draw your attention to Tammy Riedling, the wife of Pastor Riedling of, what's the name of the church? Christian Bible Fellowship. She has battled cancer in the past. I think this is the third occasion. And she's quite low. And would you pray for her and Bruce? His name is Bruce. And that congregation, that the Lord would help them during this time. We'll pray for those needs at the end of our time. But I have just a couple of missionary things to communicate to you before we get into the Word. This is from TAP Ministries. And again, TAP Ministries, it says, our goal is to ship the resources necessary to help churches reach people with the gospel and to allow followers of Jesus Christ to search and study the Scriptures just as the church did in Berea. So they recirculate used materials, send it all over the world. And they say, after almost 3 months of being locked down, TAP is able to begin our ministry of shipping once again. The pandemic affected the entire world, and so many of our contacts on other continents were dealing with the same restrictions. Even our shipping company was adversely affected, and we were informed that shipments sent out by others were often left on docks and unprocessed. We're glad to be able to resume the core of our outreach. They were able to send quite a number of hymnals that had come in to two different countries. He says, during May, we were able to send out a shipment to the Philippines to a longtime associate, and a shipment to Nigeria to a ministry we began partnering with just last year. He says, pray for safe delivery of both of these as they were the first shipments sent post-COVID. He said, we have quite a few other shipments ready to go in June. We have two cartons boxed and ready for Trinidad and another one for a new contact in the Philippines. We also have several cartons boxed and ready for the prison ministry as all of these partnerships are resuming operations. So that's good news with TAP Ministries. And then this is a more lengthy communication from David and Donna Edens. David was able to go to Niger in November of last year to help in that ministry. He spends most of his time stateside. Don's health is not good, and his health isn't the best either. But the ministry continues. And this is some of what he says. Thank you for your prayers for us in the last weeks and for your intercession for the believers in the Sahara Desert. It is encouraging to hear also that the believers in the desert report that they are praying for you and for us. They hear reports of the difficulties and the unrest that are now causing disarray in our country and ask regularly of your welfare, assuring us of their prayers for you. How are the believers in the desert of North Niger coping with this dreaded new disease? And then he says in parentheses, remembering that the region where they live has long been plagued by numerous infectious diseases, many of which are unheard of here in the U.S., besides being in an environment where modern medical means remain scarce. The borders of Niger have been closed, more completely so, as they had already been closed to stop terrorists entering from nearby countries. Only three cases of the new virus have been reported in Agadez. One of them, a 60-year-old man, passed away last week. He says, despite this, he's talking about a man who was able to purchase another 50 MP3 players to continue distribution of the audio scriptures. And many are still coming to Christ and asking for the Word of God. Special meetings were held for Resurrection Sunday in at least five locations. The brothers met in Agadez. Ali and his family met. Some 200 believers met at another place. Another meeting of ladies in another place. Some 400 attended to praise God, study the scriptures together, and pray in Jesus' name. I'm being careful about names and places because of the sensitive nature of this communication. He says, on February 25, he mentions this man's name, a believer from the western region of the country came to visit our believers in Agadez. I have known him for many years, and we worked some together on rendering the New Testament into the Tamazight dialects. For some time, I have wanted him to visit Agadez to encourage the believers there. His visit was much appreciated by them. He also visited the region of, and he mentions another place, where many have become followers of Christ. Pray for him and his family. Islamist attacks continue in the regions. It was a military camp attack. 12 government soldiers were killed and 10 were wounded. He says, much has slowed down over the past months and normal business is often difficult to accomplish. Yet, We have seen progress on printing more Thomas Jacques New Testaments. God has provided funds necessary for printing 2,000 copies. Today I am expecting proofs in the mail and will be checking them for printing errors. Thank you for praying concerning this project. And thank you for praying for Donna's health. She continues to be weak from congestive heart failure along with its many side effects. We give praise to God that she's doing well and has not been ill with any of the new viruses. We appreciate your faithfulness in prayer and in financial means to help us broadcast the good news of God's Word to many who have never heard. So that's from David Edens. Now, back to Romans chapter 8. I want to just read this one verse, and that's what we'll be concentrating on. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in... Let me start over. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This verse and the verse that follows it examines the discipline of prayer as it relates to the will of God. And that's important because your prayers and my prayers are only as effectual as they are in keeping with the will of God for our lives. And therein lies the answer to why prayer is so challenging and so difficult at times and so perplexing at times. Believers, born-again Christians, who want to pray in accordance with the will of God, find themselves wrestling with many questions. What should I pray for? How should I pray? Can I pray with confidence, claiming things by faith? Do I have to be tentative and qualify all my prayers with, if it be your will? Or is that kind of praying evidence of weak faith and immature faith? Some would argue that. What happens when I pray amiss? What happens when I pray wrongly? Can prayer do harm? That perhaps is an odd question to you, but the children of Israel continue to insist that God give them a king. God give them a king. And God resisted that for a long time until God finally relented and gave them what they wanted, what they asked for. But the Bible says, with that answered prayer came leanness into their soul. So it sounds to me like with the answer to that prayer came harm. Does prayer change the mind of God? Can it change the plans of God? And if not, does it even matter whether we pray? What place does prayer have in the accomplishment of the will of God in my life and in this world? Now, there's about a dozen questions that I raised, and there are many more that could have been raised, but all of that is to make an obvious point that this verse is making. What is that? That prayer is difficult, it's challenging, and it's perplexing at times. So, is there any help here in this verse to help us in this matter? And the answer to that question is yes. Why is prayer difficult? Why is it challenging? Why is it perplexing? Why is it met with such opposition? Well, there are numbers of answers to that question, but the one this verse is dealing with there in verse 26, let me draw your attention to it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Why is prayer difficult? Prayer is difficult because of our, not weakness, but our weaknesses. Now, he is not, in my opinion, speaking of sin. Weakness is not sin. It's true that we're sinners. It's true that sin is a barrier to communion with God. God says if we harbor sin in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. So I'm not dismissing that. But again, the verse is talking about weaknesses. What Paul is concerned with here is weaknesses. These weaknesses are a hindrance to our ability to pray in concert with the will of God. So the question is, what are these weaknesses? What are these weaknesses that Paul is making reference to? Well, there are a number of them, and I certainly won't exhaust that question with this list that I have, but let's speak to several of them. There is, number one, physical weakness. Physical weakness is one of the weaknesses, surely, God has in mind when He speaks to this matter in verse 26. What do I mean by physical weakness? Well, do you remember the occasion when Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him into the garden and asked them to pray with Him? What did they do? They kept falling asleep, even though Jesus had instructed them to stay awake and pray with Him. They could not stay awake. And we don't know all the reasons why that is so. There's a couple of things that are hinted at. But in that dialogue that Jesus had with them as He came from the place of prayer to them several times on that evening, Mark 14 records this. Then He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now the next words that I'm going to read, I want you to know, are not spoken by Peter. The next words I'm going to read are spoken by the Lord Jesus. And the next words are, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There is a mild rebuke there. You can't ignore that. Where Jesus said, watch and pray. No, when He said, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? There's a mild rebuke there. But the statement, the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, is not an excuse that Peter offers to Jesus of why he was asleep. It was an accommodation of Jesus to Peter and explaining, here is physical weakness. Here is one of the weaknesses, no doubt, that Paul has in mind in Romans chapter 8. So there is physical weakness. I mean, let's get real practical about it. When it's 9 o'clock in the evening and your favorite program, whatever that might be, is coming on, and you've got the remote in your hand, most likely you're alert. You're ready. You want to see whatever it is that you've been anticipating. But if someone says at 9 o'clock in the evening, let's have a season of prayer, I would suggest that probably you sense this sleepiness and tiredness come over you that you did not sense or feel when you were wanting to anticipate watching whatever that program would be. Now, there's spiritual warfare here, no doubt. but there's physical weakness. That's the first. Number two, there's lack of understanding. Lack of understanding. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We do not know what we should pray for. This is not a question of how to pray. This is a question of what to pray for. And because of our finite minds, because of our human frailties, because of our spiritual limitations, because that we only see through a glass dimly, there are many things that we do not understand that hinder us from praying in accordance with the will of God. We do not understand. So how does this weakness, and how do these weaknesses manifest themselves in this matter of prayer? Well, because of these weaknesses, the text says we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now notice something with me. Notice that when Paul writes the word weaknesses, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. He adds the word our. And what's significant about that? Paul is identifying himself with us in this. Paul, who wrote 13 of the 26 New Testament books, is saying, as a seasoned believer, one who was privileged to write inspired Scripture, that he knew of weaknesses that hindered him to be able to pray in accordance with the will of God. So in other words, the weaknesses that make prayer difficult is not something that only new, baby, or immature believers have. It is a part of our common condition. Even the greatest saints share in these weaknesses. I hate to bring bad news to you, but it's the truth. We are not going to outgrow this. This is what we will carry through our earthly pilgrimage. These weaknesses. And I think it helps us understand, perhaps we've wondered in ourselves, when people talk about and we hear somebody that we esteem who's walked with Christ for years and years, maybe pastored, and speaks of the difficulty that they encounter in the matter of prayer, the struggles that they have in the matter of prayer. And we think, wow, if he struggles in prayer, he's willing to admit that, what hope is there for me? Well, here's the issue. We're not going to outgrow it. It's part and parcel of all of our experience. Paul says, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So, in this matter of prayer, perhaps I failed to state the obvious, so let me state the obvious. We begin with, number one, the necessity of prayer. And it's there in the verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. As we ought. It is assumed that a child of God will pray. We're commanded to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We are to pray without ceasing. Jesus' instructions concerning prayer is predicated upon that necessity of prayer. He assumes that the disciples are men of prayer. As you pray, and there's the instructions on how to go about that. So, again, if you're looking for an outline for this verse, the first point would be, the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer, and I draw that from that word, as we ought. I've covered the second point, and that is the specific weaknesses concerning prayer. The physical weaknesses, the ignorance, the misunderstanding, the limitations that we have in this world. The specific weaknesses concerning prayer. But here is the great encouragement. And what is that? Point number three. God's effectual supply because of our weaknesses. It is true that many times we do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us by God to assist us precisely in this important, critical area of prayer. That's the encouragement. God did not leave us in our weaknesses. He gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit. So the point of the passage, the point of the verse, is that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And how does He help us? Well, He comes and He dwells within us. He is known as the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside. And it's as though He comes to take part of a heavy load and to help us bear it. Help us bear our weaknesses. It's a picture of someone weighed down under a heavy load. We're struggling under it. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps us shoulder that load. Notice a word here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. He makes intercession for us. What is an intercessor? An intercessor is a person who pleads one's case. So the meaning here is that the way the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help and shoulder our burden is by pleading our case with God when we do not know how to do it. We do not know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does. And we have this wonderful illustration about this help as Jesus interacts with Peter. Jesus says to Peter on that fateful night, "Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. And when you are restored, minister to your friends." A loose paraphrase. Peter wasn't praying. He didn't know what to pray. In fact, he probably wasn't praying. But Jesus interceded for him. Now, none of this is to suggest that we have nothing to do in this matter of prayer or that we have no responsibility to pray. We do. We do have responsibility in prayer, which is made quite clear by a particular word here. And let me draw your attention to it. Likewise, the Spirit also does what? He helps. He helps in our weaknesses. He helps. That means He does not do it for us. It does not eliminate our need to pray. He's come to assist us, to help us, but not do it for us. Question. What about this word groan or groaning? The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, there's a key word that I want to draw your attention to, and we'll start there and move through this. And it's the first word in verse 26. And it's the word likewise. Or perhaps in your translation it says in the same way. So that word likewise or in the same way suggests a connection with what's gone before. And again, commentators are not in total agreement about what that continuity is, but I think the best explanation is this, that we have this business or this issue of groaning that is repeated three times. We see it in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. So we have creation groaning, we have we ourselves groaning, and then we have likewise the Spirit also groaning. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I take very seriously the words of commentary by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones is emphatic in that this cannot be the Holy Spirit that's doing the groaning. And this is what he says about that. He says, the Godhead does not groan. It is inconceivable for every reason. And he says, since the Holy Spirit is not groaning, it must be the Christian himself. And I'm not sure that I can fully reconcile that in my own mind. But there is this sense of continuity. There's this help that the Spirit of God has come to give us. Let me try and illustrate it this way. Suppose you are in the process of moving a heavy piano. And you are laboring under the load. And you have somebody who's come to help you shoulder that load. What do you expect of that person who's come to help you? And we're talking about a piano. They're not light, they're heavy. Would you expect that person who's come to help shoulder the load to say, you know what, this is a beautiful piano. I'm glad you called me and asked me to help you with this piano. Why didn't you get some professional movers to help you with this piano? You know, this piano is really heavy. Would you draw the conclusion this person is helping you with that piano? I would suggest to you that if you heard that person groaning under the weight of the piano, you would draw the conclusion, this person is helping me. This person is helping me bear this burden. And I think that's what is going on here. That's the imagery that I think is consistent with the text of Scripture. The Spirit has come, and He enters into this burden, this weakness. He's come to help us. And we need to be grateful for that. We need to rejoice in that. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, I want to make a distinction here, and that is a distinction between the praying that is assisted by the indwelling Spirit and the praying that Jesus is doing for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. So we have the second person of the Godhead, of the Trinity, seated at the right hand of God, praying for us. But His praying for us is outside of us. Alright? This help, this praying, is help that is within us. So it's meant to energize us, to enable us, to help us in a spiritual sense. So we have help from without, and we have this help from within. Well, let me wrap this up rather quickly. Number one, we are supposed to pray. Regardless of the problems we may have with prayer, we are reminded that the saints have all had problems with prayer at times, yet we are commanded, expected to pray. Number two, do not expect prayer to be easy. Prayer comes with difficulty. There are limitations. There are weaknesses. We can't remove them. We can't eradicate them. Number three, let's realize what we are doing when we pray. More often than not, we do not know what we should be praying for. We nevertheless can know and need to know what we are doing. And what is it that we are doing? We are addressing ourselves to the great sovereign God of the universe. And we're coming before Him with our adoration, with our confession, with our thanksgiving, and with our supplication to Him. And He is hearing these prayers, and He's responding to them consistently, perfectly, and wisely out of His inexhaustible abundance. This is good news. So let's be encouraged. The Spirit comes to help us in our weaknesses. God has addressed our weaknesses in the help given by the Holy Spirit. And He does perfectly for us what we have such great difficulty doing most of the time. We need Him. God knows that. And therefore He has given Him to us to assist us in this most important discipline of the Christian life. Well, that's what I have for you tonight. Let me ask you to join me as we conclude our service, remembering some of these requests in prayer. Our Father, we confess that we need to grow in greater dimensions in this whole matter of prayer. We need to grow in our consistency. We need to grow in our fervency. We need to grow in effectual prayer. We thank You for the instruction and the help we receive from this verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 8 that acknowledges that we do have weaknesses and that the Spirit has come to help us in those weaknesses. Thank You for addressing us at our point of need. We thank You that we can intercede tonight. We would ask you, our God, to receive our praise for answers to prayer, for resolving this issue for Marianne Freeman, for the good report concerning Sarah Cardwell, and for Caleb Kasevich. We pray tonight for our North Carolina State Senator Rick Gunn, and ask that you would lead this man and work in this man's heart and use him, Lord, to be an instrument of peace and an instrument of resolution to the problems that the state faces. We want to pray for Drew Guthrie and for Texie Owens and for Shirley Watkins and ask you to continue to minister to the needs of these dear ones. For these that have contracted COVID, Danny Duncan and Charles and Ellen Hersey, and the large number of people at the White Oak Manor, Lord, please have mercy, restore health, give courage, give resources, Lord, particularly to those that are working with the residents of White Oak Manor. How despairing that must be. How difficult that must be, that work environment. Lord, please, for those who would know you in that place, help them to bear witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how it magnifies and amplifies the importance of the rest home ministry that's carried on by the men and the couples and the families of our church. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for the investment of their time. Thank you for their preparation. Thank you for their desire to go and hold forth the word of life. Lord, we long for the day that those ministries can continue again. We pray for Becky Travis, who's fallen and broken her leg. We pray for Paul Snyder and his family, and for Trevor Johnson and his family. For these two families who are bereaved, the Tommy Wall family and the Lee Hamilton family. Father, be the God of all comfort to them. Minister, Lord, your grace and peace in the midst of this sorrow. For these who are battling cancer, for Kent Shropshire and for Naomi Williams, how we pray that Naomi is dealing with this new drug and the side effects would subside, that her and her husband would be able to come for Amy Joy's wedding. We pray for Tammy Riedling tonight and ask our God that you would draw near to this dear sister, that you'd encourage her heart, that you would help her to entrust herself to you. Thank you for her family, her loving family. Thank you for the time that she has been able to get away and enjoy her grandchildren. Lord, we commit her to you and Brother Bruce and the ministry there at Christian Bible Fellowship. We thank you for this letter from David Edens and for the work that he's given his life to there in the Sahara Desert. How it causes our hearts to rejoice of the salvation that has come to that region. And no doubt there is opposition, satanic opposition. And we pray that you would give boldness and courage to those who are taking a stand for Christ in that place. We are amazed at the number of Muslims who have been converted in that area. We pray that the gospel would run and be glorified in that place. Please minister to David and Donna in their aged condition, and Donna in particular with her battle with her heart. Lord, we are people who are in desperate need of you and your intervention. Lord, thank you that you are working in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God that helps us in this critical issue of praying. That the Spirit who knows the mind of God and is in perfect concert with the will of God helps us as we pray. Lord, thank you for the people of God who have gathered tonight through this medium. We pray that you would watch over us and keep us and bless us and use us and glorify yourself in these days. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.